You know, when I gave evidence before the Civil Building Commission, I said, in any upcountry area where there is a preponderating majority of Indian voters, have two members, one of whom must be a candidate on the general electorate. That is to say, they must elect two members, one being a candidate. Although they laughed at that idea, but I have a feeling that our friend is sorry about it now, Sulbury.
But frankly, I can't see how having a separate electoral registers will help the SLSP, because if they have separate, say, six seats, there is a permanent block of six who might be against it. I suppose they are arguing that now the Indian vote can influence about 14-15 electorates. But the point is that one section of the Indian vote is not for liberty, at least the Assis group.
Please don't mix up permanent solutions of political problems with temporary solutions of ephemeral politics. You are not going on principles. SLP themselves are now trying to mark time, you know, their own way, so they may capture votes, the Kenyan single voters. That's why they say, well, we are not going to allow them to influence you. That's not a solution. You are either a citizen or not a citizen. They are not going to half caste citizens.
No, that's the point. They are looking at it from a temporary point of view. Your argument is based on the question of principle, and therefore they should not be on separate.
Quite so. I think Sulbury himself suggests in the letter that there should be separate electorates to prevent the Indian vote stomping the Kenyan vote. I don't think that's a good enough solution. It's much better that for every Indian vote, there must be a pairing Kenyan vote.
You mean multi-member seats?
No, not in that sense. Not multi-member seats. Oh, no. Not a question of two Indians coming into a seat. No, no. One must be an Indian, registered or otherwise. One must be a Kenyan. So if the Kenyan seat falls vacant, then only Kenyan can be elected. For example, take Muru. There are two member constituencies. One was meant for Tamils and other for the Muslims. But now, both are for Muslims. This is a meaningless thing.
Because the demographic trends and other factors.
Oh, yes.
So it's better to have it inlaid in the...
Quite right. Perfectly candidly. We don't want the Indians to swarm the Kenyans. With that, everybody must be in agreement. Everybody must.
In fact, what are your comments on the federal party policy towards the in the Ceylon question?
Please ask those questions from the federal party, not from me. I have to put it there. In a further correspondence, you will find a reference to this question. And a suggestion by Sulbury. I replied to him, and I quote a Tamil saying, "The mouse did not know its way about, but began to draw a broomstick." The Indian Tamils are now suffering under great disabilities. They are going to find salvation for their own future. Not being able to find them, they want to find salvation for Indian laws. What's the meaning?
The Ceylon time. Well, if I may leave the Indo-Ceylon question and raise just one question with regard to the Yamuna talks which we discussed last time, I'm not quite clear whether there was just one session of talks or several talks.
Several talks.
And you attended the first few.
I did attend any Yamuna talks. didn't attend a single one of those. I refused it.
But weren't you favorable to the idea at the start? You said on certain conditions.
Very favorable indeed, because I felt at that time that power has corrupted just a bit. And the UN people were trying to be a little cocky. So if we could, with the independence of the second largest group and the others, form a government, you'd be able to keep DS and his friends in check.
But didn't the formation of such a government, a coalition group, depend on the support of the Tamil Congress as well?
Which coalition group are you talking about?
Say, independence and others
got Yamuna?
Yes,
Congress is part.
But could you rely on the Congress?
That's how it broke! That's how Calvin Anderson has to vote. I said that. I don't know if he's going to correct me or not. Calvin Anderson was told his friends there quietly and privately, don't trust the issue of the Congress. Ponnambalam was trying to become Prime Minister. Calvin won't have anything near it. Even a prepared DS to Ponnambalam as Prime Minister.
Taking your period of tenure as the Minister of Commerce and Trade, I'm interested in two subjects. One is a question of cabinet conventions and the way DS tried to mold the cabinet conventions and the way he ran cabinet meetings.
On the whole, from what I know, from what I have read, I think DS tried his level best to conform to those conventions. He might have had his own little things at the back of his head about his son, that and so on and so forth. But on the whole, I think he was inclined to be guided by the things.
No, I was wondering how he was as a chairman. Now, for instance, it is considerable that, as in any committee meeting, everybody speaks at the same time, and sometimes the secretary who is taking the minutes doesn't know what the decision is.
I will tell you. DS had such influence over the cabinet that but for SWRD and myself, the other members of the cabinet were all yes. SWRD himself would not be strong in his opposition in certain matters, as the flag question, for example, as myself.
Flag.
That was because DS had made SWRD to feel that he was to be his legal successor. He was being a guard, but SWRD was never, not even for a moment did he think he was being a guard. That's how he turned out.
But
apart from that, it's a meeting with the cabinet. You see, whenever I dissented strongly regarding matters, the first matter was this flag question, I walked out of the cabinet and said, I'm okay. He's carried on promptly. He's carried on promptly and made Sinhala made introduce that motion. Promptly, all I was a member of the cabinet, Sinhala was a member of the cabinet or a member of the government. I promptly gave notice of a motion of what I thought to be a grand edition of Black Law. If I didn't say anything.
Is it correct to say that in the cabinet itself, Sir John went out of the way to trick Banda?
Was he capable of breaking men? Tell me that. Could St. John has held a candle test of Dhyani Bandara Nayaka. People in this country seem to see when he is graduate of Cambridge.
No, I was not thinking of the interiors, but I was thinking of his, shall I say, his military manner.
That would not exhibit itself by word of mouth in the cabinet. The military manner is all right outside cabinet, not in the cabinet. Oh, no. Very strong. When the book is going to publish, it is all right. Very strong comments are made by Sundari and by me, of course. I started the ball rolling in regard to Kothalabala.
So, this I didn't know. Kothalabala was also an yes man to DN.
Very much so. I don't believe there's a single question in which he differed from DS and Nayaka. I don't believe that. He was not capable of different from these.
But there's a I asked this because there's a story that on some issue, DS, it may have been a small one, but DS had all 11 cabinet ministers against him.
Not in my time. Not in my time. Oh, no.
And according to the story, he said, 11 eyes. This is the only time he had taken a vote. Is it correct? Did he take did he ever, in your experience, take?
Oh, when he was taking my vote. Oh, it's even the last matter, wherever this is, just taking my vote, I was even disingenuous. Many of you have taken my vote. I voted against in many matters, but because there was a tribunal, I did not press my opposition beyond the cabinet chamber. Cabinet room, rather.
Then the second aspect I was interested in was the question of your policies as Minister of Commerce and Trade. What were the major objectives? Problems?
Well. Better read the handset. And there were two publications of mine in the picture. One was a speech which I delivered to the Economic Society of the University of Ceylon, OC Strait of Ceylon, where I went for the figures and so on and so forth. And there was also another publication of mine which is referred to in the international Who is Who, Back to Bata in OC Strait. My good friend there was a matter where I had my own way. The Copra contract, litigating its government, number of matters. I introduced the floor price. I introduced the floor price system which is now being copied in other countries. You know about the revision of the Copra and Rubinstein agreement in the UK? I got to this country. Nearly 1,000 million rupees extra in overseas payments. What did my boy? Some flight. Very good.
I was wondering whether the floor price system, I mean, I'm not against, I believe this claim is correct, but I was wondering whether in a sort of continuous long-term sense, it is flexible enough. Whether we can keep, since the prices vary, sometimes I wonder whether the floor price is too high at the moment. Thanks.
No Minister of Trade should be foolish enough to lay down anything like the law of the Medes. I do not do. If he sets about his business carefully, he will see, when he gets his probe prize, that any question, if the probe prize was inclined to let the country down, the open dream had gone to call for prior tenders. Namely, I give export license only if you are able to get this price from your buyers. You know that word miracles in regard to export of coconuts. I was able to keep down the local price of coconut at 10 to 12 cents. While the price paid by the Egyptians was 30 to 80 cents per coconut. Would you believe it? I will say nothing about what is happening with PK at the present moment. If I am to say things, well, if ever a country messed up its economy, it is because of mishandling by those who are in charge of the country's affairs.
In the past few years, however,
it started with that. I called him in Parliament, a damned ludicrous Prime Minister, referring to damned ludicrous prices in the tea trade 1954 or 55. The tea market has never survived that. The phrase of three words, damned ridiculous prices. You read the sentence. I speak in that connection. To this day, the whole economy of Ceylon has been ruined by those three words. I hear all kinds of things about Ceylon tea being sold in London market as African tea. I am unable to
apparently, some of the packers take some Ceylon tea, mix it with African and Indian tea, and then sell it as Ceylon tea.
You are perfectly right. That's what I heard myself. The blending is done in Africa. The African tea does not have those qualities of flavor, color, and the other quality, the taste, so to speak.
Strength?
Not strength, there's no word. Color, flavor,
I can find that out.
The African tea has just the color, not the fine qualities. So they use this stuff, mix it up, blend it as they call it, and send it to the London market, calling it Ceylon tea. If our friend would only prepare Ceylon tea going into Africa, they can do that successfully. Or even going to London market in India, like Africa, they can successfully do that. Or if the Ceylon tea that goes to London is not blended with the African tea and sold as Ceylon tea, this country will stand to gain a good deal. But of course, these are figures and ideas which I have got from newspaper reading, but that's not where they're reliable.
With regard to the UNP performance, say, in the Senanayake period, I wonder whether they had sufficient long-term planning and what one might call an intellectual edifice, you know, for the future.
Well, you haven't heard about the Colombo plan.
Yes, but that was on a shall I say, Asian front, wasn't it?
Not necessarily. Oh, no. Then the sixth year plan, the first sixth year plan, the second sixth year plan.
Yes, but I don't know whether the second, first sixth year plan was
fulfilled.
No, well, that of course, plans are not always.
Yes, yes.
But whether it was well conceived, shall I say?
Well,
not enough capital expenditure.
Oh no, don't say that. Even Australian government will be very liberal, you know. Most of these colonial bank governments, for their own sake, not their outlet for their own use, they did go there in park. But you see, I was not in the cabinet with these plans ready for acceptance.
Ludovic, in his new book, says, criticizes the Colombo plan as a means by which, and this is the word he uses, the Western economies, the Western countries, penetrated our economy. You don't think it was so?
To say it is penetration by Western countries is not true to facts. Because in places like Australia and New Zealand and other countries, the penetration was there before.
Mm-hmm.
But the Colombo plan, in my view, was just an outlet for surplus produce of the countries that are coming to our aid. That is all.
So in that sense, it's, you can say it's a new method
of
fulfilling our old age.
No, the difference. The Colombo plan did not provide for any dividends. Did it? There was no question of foreign capital coming here and earning income and taking it back. Oh, no.
It's a sort of mutual trade agreement.
A mutual... I won't even put it in a trade agreement. Mutual assistance which would enable the producing countries to get rid of their surplus on the ground of munitions to the developing countries.
Well, going on from there to the 56 elections, I wonder whether you have any comments to make on the political revolution.
Yes. It's not for Buddhaki the Pharaoh's great and wonderful part. This that we have never had the return to power.
Part in what sense? Organization ability or?
Organization ability plus religious influence. Village women were called upon to touch the bhikkhus' robes and swear that they would vote for this religion.
And what have you to say about the Sinhala only and the language issue really, as raised by the SLFP earlier, the Trotskyite party's policy towards it, the switch over by the UNP last minute, and then from 56 to 7 Agam Pact and its existence?
Well, I have seen nothing part of it. I think what I speak is, I pointed out Mr. Biyaji and said, I can't quote the exact words, but they were to the fact. You will sing a song, you'll go down to history as having ruined Islam and made partition. I lured some of my bitterest and strongest people. In Bandarnaike, the way we do the right and so on and so forth. I called him a murdering party.
Yes, I was going to raise a question on the riots, but going chronologically, what comments have you to make on the BC Pact?
I made a very good committee on Parliament. If you take interpretation in place on the BC Pact, by my good friend, the Prime Minister, the interpretation is cutthroatish of the Tamils. If you take interpretation in place on the Pact by Mr. Chelvanayakam, it is cutthroatish of the Sinhalese. If you therefore take the two interpretations together, it is cutthroatish of all. Therefore, this BC Pact is a bloody cutthroat pact. It's not an offense. And I only refer to a pact, being my term in Parliament. Bloody cutthroat pact. Once Ismail tried to pull me up, but he didn't pull me up at the early stages. And yeah, they didn't try to pull me up. Why, Mr. Speaker? This phrase has occurred in the hands so many times. By usage and practice, bloody cutthroats is now a parliamentary phrase, and you cannot object it at this stage. It has always been a bloody cutthroat pact from my point of view.
How did you cheat at the Tamils?
Which one?
This pact.
Good Lord, man! Must I be told that my language is a recognized national minority language? Must I be told that? What importance is that?
No, but from the point of view of the Sinhala-only policies, don't you think this was an advance for the Tamil?
Which was an advance?
Having some sort of a recognized settlement.
Oh, no! There was a recognized settlement in 1944. Just before the Solomon Commission was appointed, when they wanted Tamil and Sinhalese to be on equal footing with English. Why did they backtrack on that? When I referred to that, Bandarnaike interrupted, I've changed my mind. I retorted, double-tongued treachery. Of course, I was called to order and I had to withdraw those threats. But I went further. So an agency is king. He changed his mind. He turned out to be the greatest traitor in history. Said my friend, I'm doing better. He could ask me to withdraw back. I sometimes wonder, you know, at what I have been saying in Parliament myself.
Inspiration for the moment?
Oh, quite right. On the spur of the moment, I come out right. How is the...
But then when you think of it, since the Buddhist monks opposed it wholeheartedly, yeah, it was going on that basis that I thought that it had gained something.
My concluding sentence, in my last bit to Sulbury, democracy which you have introduced in Islam is going to be replaced by Bhikkhu Dhamma Blanca.
Bhikkhu?
Dhamma. Blanca. It is a kingdom of Blanca, Bhikkhu Dhamma Blanca. But I put in a modifying phrase. But I have to write this slightly better than the democracy. I'll look at you out in about 2 weeks' time.
Mm. When was it that you performed Satyagraha?
At Gosali Rainivya.
I thought, no, sorry, not Satyagraha, fast. Was
where?
It?
No.
No.
In Lavanya? Never.
Oh.
You are referring to my Bombay Bridge incident.
I must have that, yes.
You don't
know? In my younger days, I can recall that you hit the headlight.
Yes, this is. I described that. No, the observer described it quite correctly.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted obedience to the law by the police officers. I was not committing any breach of the law. Satyagraha was defined as the law.
Mm-hmm.
My action was compliance to the law. And the observer invented a phrase, Sundara Lingarism. This stood exactly. I was playing up to them, ask them to conform to the law, which has made them find themselves in great difficulty. It was shot fired by his boy's father, that same situation on the day.
This was the
This was in 1915. Yes. The BC Pact was the outcome of that.
57.
Yes. I tell you how this visit back came about.
Mm-hmm.
All this trouble with Mr. Speaker, I was put on Bombay Bridge Road and all kind of stuff. I then retained myself in Bombay Bridge Police Station.
For what?
I wanted them to take me back to the place where they found me. I had to take me to the courts and prosecute me for any breach of the law. Or take me back to the place from where you removed me. That was in front of Parliament House. In front of the V.S. Naik statue. So I stayed on. Then they all started pilgrimage to the police station. All kinds of people started coming. Ministers were coming, friends were coming, people with heads were coming. And the Reverend Muktara Keta Tero, and I forget the name of the other Tero, was also a very able man. Called on me. And I read this course. It was a very fine discourse. A whole crowd of people right around the room. Newspaper men taking down the base for this course. Then Buddha did the table asking, so all this has happened unfortunately. What solution would you suggest? I said, take Chilvanayakam and Bandar Nayakam. Lock them up in a room. Give them no food, no drink, nothing, till they come to some sort of agreement. Then they go out. They asked me, so are you serious? The situation is such, unless these two people come to some sort of agreement, you never know how the explosion may take place. Bandar Nayak was saying in his messages to the nation, we are on the brink of a catastrophe. So, as these two priests left, I accompanied them from the room to the car, opened the door. As the legend they wrote it, so, the other priest took care of me. Sir, do you mind if he went and had told Bandar Nayak what we had discussed and the solution that you proposed? If you might understand the mission. You can go and tell him with my confidence. And unless we come to some sort of agreement, he is going to get into a terrible mess. Bandar Nayak did not realize that this was all bluff. Third party bluff. The party couldn't do any other kind that they tried to do. You don't realize the time.
What was it threatening to do then?
Direct action. Direct action.
So,
you know, they went directly from the Bombay police station to Bandar Nayak. And in 2 days they announced this meeting of Bandar Nayak and Chilvanayak.
What was Stanley D'Souza's place? Did he help act as liaison officer?
Not to my knowledge. Not to my knowledge. They might have done it, but not to my knowledge.
This story you have told would imply that Buddha Rakita and his other priest were agreeable to the pact.
I don't know whether any of the contents of the pact. I am not aware of that.
But they were agreed to the talks.
Oh, yes, they promptly the talks. And I think they sought to the talks being held.
So that would imply that they would agree with the conclusion.
But I think they had agreed to that for Sabyadi Mandana and his powers of
persuasion
and hoodwinking.
And which
succeeded immensely. Succeeded immensely. Have you seen the BC pact?
So then why oppose the pact?
Because, as I said, the Single Republic thought that Mandana had given too much.
Yes. But if Buddha Rakita and them knew the real situation, why didn't they stop these other priests from coming and...
I'm afraid I can't answer that question. As a matter of fact, have they been sufficiently sensible to it? Is it? Keep quiet. These are not all that they want. Tamil said, lost all that they wanted. You see? You know, I was stoned about opposing the BC pact the day after it was promulgated. Then we went into all the way to medical to oppose their convention, not convention. They are convincing me too, but on the public explanation. I was told by them in that
federal prosecutor.
Yes, rescued by the police.
In fact, what have you to say about Satyagraha as a means of opposition?
I have been saying it in other places. You can never practice Satyagraha if you want to bear kind of block your eyes. The first experience of Satyagraha got his dream on June 5th, 1956. That made it quite clear to me. You must not practice Satyagraha before hoodlums.
Were you there?
Of course I was there.
So then
they shot me. So I had to go with a bandaged neck to parliament.
So up till then you thought it was okay?
Okay. That was the first time. We had something on a large scale.
And when was it that Mr. Rajarayan saved you with...
That was in the 1957 incident.
Before the statue?
Before the statue, when I was pushed out. I gained it with a strong motion, you see. Somehow it was really out of time. They kept it out. But then I was going to speak. So, N.M. Pereira, S.W.R.D., Chandranayagam, and Ismail had conspired to allow me to speak for a short time, or prevent me from speaking if that was possible. So, when I got up, I was entitled to be heard, and having been minister, got the dimensions of parliament, that was to be heard before a member who stood up. I had to catch the speaker right. That was my duty, right? Mm-hmm. Was passed over. Then I got up and exchanged it with the speaker. They thought that Sunnivi's name, like a good gentleman who had done in the past, he would get up and go. So all I got inspiration straight off, resist. So I had to be carried out by policemen who were very jolly good with me. Jolly good fellow, very good. Because they were carrying me down those steps. They wanted to know whether they should see me as a jolly good fellow. I told the fellows, I say, if you don't do that, you lose your jobs. So they went and put me down in front of Yes and Ayaka's statue. Then if you meet the crowd collect. Science was a commissioner. Who will be a man, my old college. You need to meet, he's a man. He happened to pass his toughest guy, he's crying. I can hear him. He's crying. He's tough. Good, they said. Gupta, while he went to London, the BBC had the news of Orban carried out of Parliament and dumped on the bed. First time it has happened in Parliament history. No policeman in any Parliament ever entered this Parliament, came to this Parliament to carry out the memo and dump him on the streets outside Parliament House. There are to be Indian radio broadcasted. Those then the song radio thought that they had to broadcast it. But whatever that may be, the fact is, I brought a motion against Mr. Speaker to fill the party coin and get out of it. And the Brian whole company get out of it. They would attend the meeting. They would even vote or speak. Even they said, I think my good friend is Savarkar spoke very well, in my opinion.
Seeing
well. Edmund. Spoke very well in my favor, but it, because the party discipline is such a good thing. He did. But Mr. Speaker and the Prime Minister and the whole lot of thinking on very bad for this speech. They have no right to deprive me of my right of speech. They often refer to that in the General Parliaments.
Coming on to 58 and the emergency. Have you any knowledge of who was behind that derailment in the Eastern Province?
Yes. Problem.
Mm-hmm. Single East.
Oh, yes.
But...
Yes, suggested by Bandar Nayak, but the Tamil had done it. I said, no! I took responsibility for what happened in Loni and so on, the Tamil had done it.
Oh, what happened? Same time?
About the same time, about writing some... No, not about Switzerland earlier, about daubing the Vihara and Eastern Gala sort of business.
Done by Tamil Nadu?
No, I said, you are wrong there. Yeah. For example, I took full responsibility for the damage done to the beautiful Buddha statue at Nayavik. I knew even man who did it. I knew the reason because he came and consulted me for my professional capacity.
This was... So, where did the incidents occur first, in the Eastern Province or in Vavuniya and Nagadipa?
The first incident was in Bajkalo when they refused a delegation to the Federal Party Convention to travel by train without going through very serious risks. They asked the police for protection. The police refused any protection. They phoned up Bandar Nayak, the Prime Minister, who said he was a man in time for the police. So our friends went to bed and said, who was the Federal Party people? I told them, look here, these people are so frightened, along with the hand situation. I'll come with my men and my guns, and I'll bring you here. Don't make a mistake on that score. Oh, they have their own ways. No one can have their ways. So that they correct the hood numbers. Then the hood said about Pulanaro, my hat man, welcome the Pulanaro patients and so on. Impossible situation arose. You know, all those Indian gentlemen who fled into those European plantations. They said, practically, European after doing all kinds of dirty things.
Yeah, I know that. I heard from police sources. I was wondering how, to what degree these actions were inspired.
By whom?
By either politicians.
Of course by politicians. There's no doubt about it. I don't know whether I said it in Parliament. I think I must have said it at one stage. You know, I produced photographs in Parliament. You heard of that?
No, I haven't.
Oh! Good heavens! there.
Mm-hmm.
Photographs of ministers being members of the law committees.
Mm-hmm.
When I untied the bundle, the Mrs. Kinsey knew what was happening. She carried this man away. Photographs the pastor out.
Some of them are the ministers today.
Oh, yeah, dear ministers in the ministers today. Dear ministers in the ministers today, yes.
I was wondering to what extent there was some sort of organization. I'm not thinking of a very well-planned organization, but you know, even in a sort of informal.
No, it was fairly well-planned.
It was.
It was. At the same time, in Greece, you know, a few days before all this, some of the politicians, including members of parliament, had gone and taken an oath in front of a Dillinger statue in Anuradhapura. The vow of Bimalasanhara, you know what it means? The Shigesha temples. And they wanted to go from there to Bavonia. But before that, there was a critical firing of mine. And I killed all those others.
But
oh, you know that, critical incident.
No.
You really helped them. In case you seriously campaign, you are coming to those letters of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Also in
the I don't want to go the same ground. To what extent? But can't the simultaneous outbreak be explained by rumors? I mean, rumors perhaps deliberately spread.
That usually happens.
Mm-hmm.
That usually happens.
So it doesn't necessarily mean a well-planned or...
No, but it's not in regard to the whole of that area.
Oh, Polonnaruwa.
Polonnaruwa. Galoya? Yes. Iniganga, Paranaruga, Anuradhapura, who is it?
How many diamonds do you think were killed, at least in that area?
I should be in Parliament, no.
How will it have to be? Very
1,600 were killed altogether. Of whom 52 Sloan Tamils, 3 were Indian nationals, 2 Muslims, 300 Indian Tamils, men and women, mostly women, and the balance Sindhis. And you will see the environment. Of course, I can deny it halfway, but I'll not find part of it.
Were your figures with regard to the whole of Ceylon or?
Whole of Ceylon.
Any comments on the Radio Ceylon broadcast of the time?
Thank you, I don't listen to this stuff. No, I listen every morning. Every morning in Mongolia at 5:30 BBC.
Now, I was wondering whether the broadcast of those few days could have been even taken as an incitement to attack.
Undoubtedly. And then I just speak about the chairman of Lelia who was murdered. Undoubtedly, I think you're right. The man's name.
Tell him that.
Tell him that you're right. Undoubtedly. There was a prior judge. He palmed off his honoration matter.
What about the question of the 56 Galloya riots in relation to 58? Do you think they were, in a sense, a trial run?
56? I don't know whether the 56 had in view the 58.
Mm-hmm.
I think the 56 was intended to be conclusive, and they thought it would settle matters. But he did not.
Then jumping to 1960 and the March elections, when the UNP didn't have a full majority, they went to, at least, path was open for negotiations with the federal party.
They did negotiate.
Yes. What was your...
I advised them not to oppose. Not to oppose.
And...
I told them, Mark time, be concerned with your own affairs. Don't turn the government out. Don't turn Dudley out at this stage. I think I use a phrase that little minds would soon do it. Yeah, I advise them against hasty opposition on something and something. You find the phrase that I used, they are rather frightened phrase.
But in that, but of course they didn't follow the advice.
No.
What do you think led them to make this decision? Perhaps a mistake?
No. They could not get out of the 1947-48. Down with the UNP, up to GDP and all the kind of muck.
I thought they were opposed to GDP.
At that time, yes, later on. Mm-hmm. But that old enmity, the UNP had written down and so on and so forth. That I had joined the UNP and so the Tamils of the UNP of the business. That was there all the time. They were against the UNP. And Tirunai was dead against old Vietnam Niger, who would not do me for me.
Yes, but this is Dudley in 1960.
No. The hatred was from 1947 onward.
Yes,
it continued. The 1960, first general election.
And of course, then we get 1960 and then the anti-Shree campaign.
That is in 1958.
Don't you think that was rather futile?
Which one?
Anti-Shree campaign.
Undoubtedly it was futile. It was foolish. Utterly foolish. I kept running out of it for 3 days. After I left the Union, the temperature was no way. It's nonsense. And in that case, I went. New message that I received. And then get to incident.
Wasn't this before the riots?
Oh, yes, this is April.
So don't you think that in a sense it roused up community?
It did.
The anti-Shree campaign.
Very much so. Very much so. Because it was the anti-Shree campaign that the ally in the Kandalai single colonists were going to join the Paraguay colonists who were on my borders and who wanted to come in to stop the Peru Party convention. I told them no nonsense. But as long as I was there in Bologna, all the Federal Party and I were loggerheads. I would not allow anyone to tamper with the right of freedom of association. And I had my own men armed with guns going around to deal with any possible saboteurs.
Wasn't that illegal?
What nonsense are you talking? As MP, I was ex officio, just in the peace. And those duty cast upon this is the period of blow to take every step to prevent the breach of the order. And I find it, you know, for his officers myself or my own handwriting in connection with 1958 riots. That's why I was able to keep every person in order, north of Mother Lodge. Not a single death took place except the cursed Purim, which I could not reach.
Where?
Purim area. Two singlies on a private judge were shot on the basis of riots, except for those two deaths, and a single person, not a single woman was arrested.
And what are any comments on the more recent union between the UNP and the Federal Party?
Yes. The Federal Party has got real on themselves and real on the real terms. They have lost the freedom, the liberty, which they, with the Sinhalese, strove to get from the British. The Sinhalese have not now got their freedom. from the British. The Tamils had seen the British and silver. They have exchanged bad masters for good. We are now under singular imperialism.
But since in 1960 March you advised them to cooperate with the UN.
No, no.
The month
I didn't say that. I didn't say that. I said, bide your time. No hasty opposition.
Turning,
I said that money to source of money.
Turning to another aspect. The civil service of the present day, particularly as you meet the civil service in Vavonia, say, today, what do you think the shortcomings are?
Today there is no civil service, you know, there is only administrative service.
Yes, I know. What I mean is
there is only administrative service.
Yes.
I thought at one time the only good legacy which the British had left of this country was the administration of the country. But today, everything has gone to dogs. Just now, a friend of mine at the Indira Gandhi's party was talking to me. No act of administration is without impudent interference by politicians.
So is that the administrator's fault or the politician?
The politician's fault and the administrator's fault. And this is his son, and this must be quite clear in his own mind. Mr. So and So is the only one who is making his regard. Please go and tell your minister. And if the minister directs me to do something that is unlawful, I will merely repeat matters to the ruling authority and ask for the ruling authority. That is all.
But isn't it the fact that much of the interference takes place through ministers?
By members of parliament.
Yes, and because the minister has power, the...
Minister has no such power. There was a brilliant directive, issued by D.S. Nayaka soon after he became Prime Minister. The directive was, I think, drafted by Edward Jennings, where he finds out in no mistaken terms the extent to which MPs and ministers can go in regard to the administration of the country. First cross-check. A minister can intervene in His Majesty's name if he finds that there has been a grave miscarriage of justice and the person concerned has legitimate grievance. But unknown enough. He can't appear, for example, in regard to transfer of public service, or appointment to public service, or in regard to spiritual matter in public service. As a matter of fact, I once wanted the Attorney General to take action against Mr. Dahanayake, Minister, for violating public service rules, which resulted in junior Muslims being placed to senior Tamils as heads of Tamil-speaking Muslim schools. You know, there is a clause in our constitution, a rather unique provision, namely in regard to the appointment, dismissals, field transfers and so on, the public servants. You see, in fact, I'm responsible for that particular clause. I'm still behind that, as a matter of fact, when I was thought of the governor for having to do that in public. Same the problem that has been made. What is my point? No, nothing.
I see, but didn't this process of interference begin in the UNP time itself, the USA Nagas time?
as in England, but not to the same extent. It began, D.S. Puri started by an executive detective of his. But after...
56?
No.
After Sir John came?
After John came, the trouble started. Then you got nothing. Only two nothing parts to the nonsense.
There's a story, there's a saying among civil servants that the UNP time, it was done with finesse. That afterwards it was done far more blatantly and crudely, but nevertheless effectively.
This much I think one can say. The finesse that many times in practice ideas of the Nike did not touch the normal public